The doctor's dead. He told me he'd always hated you. Let's go.
No.
Doctor's dead. Told me he'd always hated you.
Yeah, heard you the first time.
NerveErotic.com.
Welcome back to the Nerdrotic Podcast. My name is Gary Beekler. I'm live in San Francisco, California. I come to you from Nerdrotic.com, and I am with, as always, my brilliant co-host and best buddy. He's up in Sebastopol.
Yeah, right? I'm up your neck of the woods this week.
The traveling man, John Reed. What is up?
I know. I can only be in one place for, 7 days in a row. I have to travel. So right now we're on a stretch where we're up in Sebastopol for the 4th of July, and then we're heading up to Tahoe at the end of on July 5th for the weekend there to plan the wedding. So, yeah, we've got a lot of travel ahead of us. Hopefully that won't slow down us doing all these podcasts. But, that's burying the lead here on this amazing Doctor Who finale, right? I mean, come on, this was the episode we were waiting for. It's everything that we have been kind of, you know, we talked last week about if there was a master plan, and it seems as if there was a mini master plan involved that they kind of retconned into this episode, but it was still pretty cool. I don't know. What did you think of the finale, Gary? I mean, this was amazing. Like this was a great episode.
Yeah. You know, we talked about last podcast, that'll be a classic if they follow it up well, and they did. I mean, like, this is Moffat at his best. I even put that in our description for this video, is this is Moffat at his absolute best, and he did save it. I can make an argument to start out a little negative that, what, you know, there's only about three or four episodes this season we could have used. Yeah. And if somebody asked me, hey, what should I watch? Watch the first two and the last two, and yeah, you're good.
In fact, with the return of the pilot, it really is like a first two episode, last two episode arc this season, with a bunch of Doctor Who filling. You know, the bread was the meat of this sandwich. It was like a reverse sandwich this season.
Oh, it was, and so many callbacks. I tried to keep track of all of them, which yeah, I am sure I'll have missed, and our great viewers will point that out, and that's cool. That's why we have comments, and that's why we love you guys. So, excuse me. I should have done that before the podcast. Sorry. Okay, so yeah, let's not bury the lead here, as you like to say, John. And no pun intended on Master Plan, by the way. Very, very well played. They left this open for Chris Chibnall, but don't think for one minute, and this is the first thing the last thing I wrote in my notes was, don't think for one minute that they didn't talk to Chris Chibnall, the new showrunner for Doctor Who, about this episode and how it's setting up the next series. Even though it is a hard reboot, there's certain things they have to keep open for changing, because they're still going to use the Doctor Who timeline. We'll loosely use, you know, timeline. You can do a lot of things. Doctor Who breaks its own rules all the time. That's what's great about this show and how it, you know, restarts itself. So there was just tons of foreshadowing what is to come.
Yeah.
I can't pinpoint it exactly, but as we go through this podcast, I'll point out where I think they are kind of giving nods and hints to what or who the next Doctor will be and how that's going to play out. And I think just the whole Master Missy thing might be the first one that I noticed that we talked about it, and I can't remember which podcast it was, the possibility of there being two Doctors. They talk about something going wrong with the regeneration, mm-hmm, and he could split into a man and a woman like the Master of Missy did. And I don't know if you noticed or not, and it took me upon my second viewing to catch this, that, and I didn't even catch this with the, and I guess it's always been there and maybe I just missed it, but when there's Doctors or Masters out of their timeline and they're occupying the same space, it messes with their memories because they're kind of using the same consciousness. So it's one consciousness with three beings. And that's why, you know, the Doctor in the Day of the Doctor, they were, you know, once one Doctor got an idea, it like went right into the other ones. That's kind of how I saw how Missy was just so forgetful and she couldn't remember a lot of the stuff that went on. And I think that'd be a really interesting way to take the Doctor. I mean, that's just one thing I noticed in it. I wanted to come out and say that up front, because I saw the Guardian had mentioned that there's a rumor out there that it might be a man and a woman doctor, or multiple doctors at once, which would be really interesting. To really, the ending kind of gives a hint to that too. Like, you're just a doctor, I'm the doctor. I mean, that could mean a lot of things. I don't know. Yeah, what do you think about that?
Okay, so I think that was just a line, first of all. I think that was just like a cool line for the first doctor to say to the 13th doctor or whatever, right? 12th? I forget. I always forget where we're at. But that said, I do think that you're right, that it's foreshadowing this kind of split, this split doctor for the next. And we kept saying, look, it'd be fine if the doctor were a woman if there were a story reason for it, but I don't see a story reason for it. And this is the first story reason that makes any sense to have a female doctor, right? Is like this split in the doctor that we see in the Master. So, you know, I like that they're at least thinking outside the box instead of just saying, hey, he regenerates into a woman next time, you know. To get a female doctor on the show. But that said, I don't know how I feel about a show. Like, the one thing that makes Doctor Who unique in its sphere of televisionness is that it's not this big ensemble thing like we get with like Game of Thrones and Buffy and all these shows that we love. It's a unique thing in that it's just the Doctor and his companion, and they're traveling through time and solving mysteries, and it's kind of the anchor of the show is that you have the Doctor and the companion. And I think that by having a team of doctors or two doctors and a companion, like, I'm wondering if the show stays balanced, and that's my only worry. Otherwise, I like the concept that they're saying we want to get a female doctor in there, and this is an interesting way to introduce that, is to have two, right? Like a tag team of doctors. So I don't know. I'm optimistic, but I mean, we don't even know that that's what they're going to do, right?
No, that was just, one of the ideas I was throwing out there that I caught, and there was three major, and we'll go through them at the podcast. And I want to break down the greatness that was this episode. First and foremost, two things that make anything great are great direction and great music. And Rachel Talalay and Murray Gold. Murray Gold's been doing the soundtrack since day one. Love his work. His work is cinematic. I know some people have been kind of down on it lately, but this episode, it was just phenomenal. It was like, this guy is so good. And this was the best directed Doctor Who episode ever, period. End of story. And I loved the like Red Dwarf special BBC special effects. I just freaking love them, because there's a charm to them. There's an art to them. You know, they're low budget, but what they do with what they have is so good.
Yeah,
and it's just phenomenal. And it just, oh man, the Cybermen
were dope.
When Nardal shows up in that ship, when Doctor,
yes,
oh, that was fucking rad. That was just so rad. Kids, sorry, I have potty mouth.
It's SL-16 is the little spaceship that Nardal shows up flying and busting through
nice.
The levels. I loved that little spaceship. Like, I wish that we could see like the TARDIS like careening through space with like SL-16 like right behind it. Like, I think they did a great job. You're right, of all the imagery. I loved. We went from like this dark, like industrial revolution dystopian level of the ship up to level 507, which was like the Spider-Man scarecrows in the fields with like this like little house on the prairie feel to it. And it allowed for so many cool, like it was going backwards in time from the industrial revolution, you know, back. And I thought that was like an interesting concept, because time is moving faster on the bottom than on the top. And so we get to see like these people who aren't thinking as technologically, right? And you get Nardal like upgrading their guns so that they can like fire off like laser like explosions and shit. And I don't know, I felt like, you're right, the artistic concepts that they had going in this episode were perfectly crafted to Doctor Who, right? And I'm so happy that that's the case, because we had so many episodes which were like people in dark holes talking to each other, right?
People in corridors planning. That's what you said. That was funny as hell. Two callbacks I want to mention early on in the episode. The first one is when the Masters first wake up the Doctor at the beginning of the episode, and they're doing that whole thing. How many times have you died, and how have you died? And what we're asking is, have any requests? The Doctor is in a wheelchair, a la End of Time, when the 10th Doctor is tied to a wheelchair. And that was a nice little callback to that, you know, especially with James the Master showing up. The other one was what you just talked about. The Cybermen scarecrows reminded me of the Family of Blood. The best, arguably the best Tenet episode, or it's a two-parter, where he's disguised himself as a human, and he's a teacher at that all boys school. You remember this episode? And it's got the killer scarecrows and stuff. Just a great episode, which actually led up to the Master's return. So many fun callbacks in this one, but John Sim and Michelle Gomez together I wish we would have gotten more, but that was just that one little scene. And on my first viewing of it, I didn't like it. And then on my second viewing, I did. Were they just
the rousing speech scene, or the scene where she throws him up against the wall?
No. This is just at the beginning where they're all three of them together, and they realize that the Cybermen like are turning on him. And it just happened kind of quick for me.
Yeah, it was cool.
Upon my second viewing, I appreciated it more, because they gave you a little tidbit on the Cybermen, which really makes sense and keeps their mystery. Because I was always worried that, and even when I kind of predicted they would do the origin of the Cybermen back at two Christmas specials ago on one of my podcasts that 50 people watched. And I'm glad they kept the air of mystery about them, that the Doctor said, you know, wherever there's humans, there's going to be Cybermen. That's just it. They're just a product of humanity. So, and they're a lot like the Daleks, you know, they ended up turning on their master, like they did on Davros. But I really loved how they explained that. Like, you know, it's just, they've gone viral, you know, they're part of the human condition, which is really cool. and it made me think, you know, like the one way, you know, you always want to have Cybermen, but I kind of hope that, Chinbol kind of evolves them so they don't feel like they have to be the guys in the metal suits anymore. Cause you can really get super creepy with Cybermen, you know, go full body snatchers with Cybermen, you know? You could do something like this would be total fan fiction. You can do this thing where the Cybermen have stopped upgrading people, and that could be your whole story. Is like, what the hell? Why have they stopped upgrading people? And it turns out that they have a purpose in the universe. Like, they have to fight something like even worse, like Omega or something. I don't know. You probably don't know that the running joke on the internet is like there's always this. It's kind of like when he was alive, David Bowie was always going to headline Coachella. Remember that rumor?
Yes.
David Bowie's going to headline this year. And of course he never shows up. There's always the rumor that the big bad in each series was going to be Omega. And if you don't know, Omega is out there. He's shown up a couple times. He was in the Three Doctors. He's been in multiple Doctor episodes, and what he is, he was the partner of Rassilon, and they invented the whole time vortex. And he's the one who, used a black hole to kind of open up the time vortex, and a supernova, and that's like what's in the heart of the TARDIS, and he got trapped in the fourth dimension, and he's really pissed off about it, you know. So there's always this rumor that Omega was going to come back, and I always thought that he was going to be the bad guy for the 50th anniversary episode, and it turned out to be I'm blanking on his name now, the living consciousness guy that ended up in the name of the Doctor,
the first.
It would have been better if it was Omega, but that was my little tangent that, you know, I love that they kept the era of mystery about it.
So actually I wanted to say one thing about the Cybermen. like we have Bill now who is a Cyberman and but like an empathetic, like she's kept her consciousness inside the Cyberman up until the pilot shows up. And I was actually a little bummed at the end that she wasn't, because I thought that that was a creative way of keeping Bill in the series going forward, where she could show up as a Cyberman and like help out, right? Like, but you don't need the actress, you just need the Cyberman suit. So I thought it was kind of a cool way to like have Bill come be like a character on the show who would show up from time to time going forward. I'm bummed that we're not going to get that, although she is with the pilot now. So she, yep. If the actress comes back, she could come back too. So what did you think of Bill's arc in this episode? Because, you know, we had said based on the previews that Bill wasn't going to be a Cyberman forever. And it seemed like going through this episode, like we might have been wrong, because the only reason we saw Bill looking like Bill through the episode was because it was the way she saw herself, because she was in denial a little bit, right? She was resisting the programming and was in denial. And, but, you know, when we get to the end, she does actually slough off the suit and go on an adventure with the pilot, her new girlfriend or old girlfriend, I guess. So what did you make of that ending with Bill? What, like, do you think that that's a way for them to have like a spinoff show, or like, where are they going with that? Or is it just like a little nod to the character's ending? Like,
I think that was the happiest ending you can give a companion, other than maybe her going off with her boyfriend or girlfriend. Right. I mean, like the third doctor, the third doctor's first companion, she just like got a boyfriend and like decided to stay with him. So it's kind of like Stephen Moffat's way of doing that. Just really dark. I thought it was awesome that they kept her a Cyberman, and it was a perception filter. And it was very a la Asylum of the Daleks, when our first appearance of Clara, or one version of Clara, when she gets chopped up and turned into a Dalek, which is one of my all time favorite episodes ever. Asylum of the Daleks. And that was a nice callback to that. And but no, her arc was, oh dude, she was the best thing in this. Just
Nardal, she and Nardal both, I think, were pretty amazing in this
episode. But when she's crying over the doctor's body, yes. I mean, that was intense. That was like a teary Doctor Who scene. I mean, that was, you know, and not a lot of that. We didn't get a lot of that in Capaldi's era, unfortunately. But that was legit. That was a good scene, and loved it. I loved how it turned out. I kind of thought that's how it would happen. Just the way they set it up in the first episode, and knowing she was only going to be in it one season, but she's going to go down in history, dude. Is you know, that's the tough thing about series 10 and Capaldi's run is great character work, great acting, but they were not delivered very good plots. You know. Which was kind of that's the bummer part about this is,
well, okay. So here's the thing. I agree with you on the plots. I'm going to disagree. Like, there's great acting on a lot of the parts, but I'm about to maybe piss off some people here. The rousing speech to the Masters by Capaldi, I think, showed an inherent problem with that actor playing the Doctor. I think that had we seen that scene delivered by Matt Smith or David Tennant in the modern era, it would have played differently and it would have played better, because the reactions by both Missy and Johnson's master are brilliant. Like, Johnson's like, yeah, I wasn't listening, peace. And Missy kind of gave him the compassionate, like, you know, I have evolved, I would like to help you, but I'm just not quite there yet, you know, and just left. And those reactions were brilliant, in my opinion. But the speech itself, it was like a whole commercial. Like, it was like a commercial break and then a speech and then another commercial break. And to me, it didn't work. Like, I don't know. I have a problem with Capaldi. And I think in that moment, it made itself very clear that I didn't find him to be authentic as the Doctor to me. It seemed very much like a caricature of the Doctor. And I don't know if everyone's going to see it that way, but I definitely felt that way, because in all of the greatness of this episode, I didn't really care much about the Doctor in this episode. I cared about pretty much everyone else surrounding him.
I thought it was a good speech. And it's funny, because there was another scene earlier when he's being kind of glib, that it reminded me of, you know, it did kind of, there aside from the first season where they went really off character, or first Capaldi's first season, season eight, it has been, especially this season, felt like, excuse me, Peter Capaldi has been delivering Matt Smith's lines. And, that goes with Capaldi. He's not my favorite doctor either. I think he's going to go down in history as a pretty good doctor. But he also hasn't been serviced well either. And first and foremost is the BBC and this effing scheduling they've been doing. They do Doctor Who no favors by splitting seasons, changing, you know, we don't care, but in the UK, they've been changing the episode times, you know, from like 8:30 to 7:45 and just jumping all over the place, which is just, dude, I mean, like, who is running the show over there? I mean, don't get me started on that, because they need to be kind of fired, or if not fired, just go do something else. You know, I don't want you to lose your job. That's mean. But your biggest franchise that's worldwide. I know there's bigger ones in England, but the one that sells the most toys, sells the most books, has t-shirts, and used to own Comic-Con, people everywhere, and it's not the case anymore, and it's because of your decision-making, BBC, that it's not, I won't even blame storytelling or anything. It's you. Capaldi never got momentum. Not until this season. I mean, this felt like his first season.
Yeah, you know? I agree. But let's look at it this way, though. Maybe he didn't get the show didn't get the love because of Capaldi. Like, this may be a lack of faith on the Moffat Capaldi era by the BBC. There is some truth to
that. There are a lot of people, my youngest son included, that are just weren't interested. They gave him a shot. You know,
right.
Both my sons love Doctor Who, but they're just like, I'm just not into Capaldi, you know, and they don't want to see an old grandpa running around. I mean, that was the whole argument about rebooting the series, that we weren't going to give you old grandpas. Now, Stephen Moffat's argument for that was, well, we just had a young doctor with Matt Smith, so we had to go opposite. I just think that's lazy thinking.
Yeah.
No, I don't agree with that at all. And I think
you can go older. Like, you don't need to go from 28 to, 65, right? Like, you can go to like a David Tennant, like 40-year-old doctor, you know? So I don't know. I agree with you. It's both lazy thinking and it's overcompensating.
And Moffat, that's some of the, and I don't want to stay on negative too long, but right. That's been his biggest problem. Is he's a great writer, but he had to quit Twitter. He's very sensitive to his criticism, and he's been and I say that because he's been vocal about it. Okay, he said it himself. He's very sensitive to his own criticism, so he had to quit Twitter, which I recommend all writers do. Creative people. I mean, it's just like, it's not a fun place for you because you got a-holes like us criticizing your work. Right. But he's a great writer. Okay. He's a great writer. Yeah. I think he's better at adapting than he is original writing. That's why he's so good on Sherlock. But yeah, sometimes he overcompensates on sometimes a lot. He does. Pearl Mackey having to mention that she's a lesbian for the eight out of 10 episodes. It's like Russell T. Davies was a gay man who wrote Doctor Who, in my opinion, better than Stephen Moffat. Different but better.
Different but better.
And he didn't mention that. I mean, there was, Jack was bisexual, and I believe so was River Song, but they never, but although that was Moffat's, but like Jack, always hit on everything, but he wasn't always. I just wanted to remind you that I'm gay.
Yes.
I would like to remind you that I'm gay. Okay.
I will sleep with you because you are a man. I will also sleep with you because I am a woman. Because you are a woman.
Because you're blue. And I will sleep with you because you're a lizard. I love that.
Agreed. Yeah, no. I agree. We need to get away from the negative. The reason I pointed out Capaldi in this is because in this episode, I cared more about Missy's arc and Bill as, the Cyber Bill arc and the Nardal stuff and the civilization aspects and the master stuff. I cared about pretty much everything while the doctor is dying. right? Like, this is the death of a doctor. He's starting to regenerate. And I am not, like, I feel like that was not what I was honing in on as the aspects of the episode that I was really loving. And I think that that's why, like, there was never a point during Tennant's or Smith's regeneration where I was like, I wonder if Bill's going to stay a Cyberman. You know what I mean? Like, it just wasn't.
Agreed. Totally agreed. I'm going to be honest. I'll be 100% honest with you, Whovians. I've been looking forward to his regeneration because I want to see what's next.
Yeah, I want to see what's
next. I do. I'm done with him. So I don't. Yeah, I when watching Tennant's regeneration and Matt Smith's, I was like, no, yes. I don't want you to regenerate. I am totally okay with Capaldi regenerating. Yeah. I am ready to go. That's why I didn't buy it. You know, I do, and I like the differences of it, but I just the whole like I don't want to go. Especially, I just read earlier today why Capaldi wants to leave, and he basically said Doctor Who is hard, you know, and I'm sure it is as an actor, and especially, you know, a guy who's like been around, done it all. He's, you know, 50 something. He's 58. You know, he started this when he was 55. Christ, he started this when he's 55. That's only like 7 years older than me. So I don't know. He used to be a rock star, so he lived a hard life. You know,
yeah.
He's a great actor. And he's a nice guy, and I'm looking forward to seeing him at Comic-Con. I don't mean to disrespect the guy.
Yeah, that's not
like Sir Peter Capaldi someday, but yeah, I'm looking forward to the next Doctor. I'll agree with you there.
I'd rather see him on Downton Abbey than Doctor Who.
Oh yeah.
Or yeah, like you said, he's a rock star. Like I would love to see him play like a version of himself in something, you know, like a biopic on some like punk rock, you know, British punk rock story or something. I don't know. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm looking forward to the next act of Doctor Who. Missy, on the other hand, I was really sad at her ending.
Yeah. So
I need you to explain, like you've watched it twice. I only watched it once. What happened there? What happened to Missy?
So Missy did evolve. She started getting the empathy that the master was alluding only women have, which is not true. Sorry.
Not only women and not every woman has empathy.
I love what he said, is the future all girl? And I was just thinking, you know, the single Gary would have been totally okay with that.
Yeah. Right?
Yes. As long as it's just me. I mean, no offense, John. But, what happened there was a brilliant ending. That's what I thought. And she was going to stand with the doctor. And I'm really glad that she never gets to, because I love the idea of it, but I do not want to see the master turn good. I think we got as close as we're ever going to get. And it ended so perfectly with them laughing. And it's like, no, this is how it ends. We shoot each other in the back,
yeah.
You know, and it's and I think that scene left it open for either one of them to come back. I know Michelle Gomez says she's done and she might be. But John Sim has said multiple times, like, I never said I was done, you know, he really took the role back this episode by being just such a dick. You know, when Nardal gets in the ship and he's all, or when he gets in the ship with Nardal and he's all, the doctor's dead, and he said he always hated you.
Yeah.
And then Missy comes in and says the same thing. I was like, God damn, that was fucking good. That was funny.
When Missy was climbing up the rope ladder, and I'm sure that this joke has been made before, but Missy really did remind me in this episode of like an evil Mary Poppins. Like, I don't know if that was like the goal or whatever, but
that was
it's so funny.
That was the goal, and it was done very well. So the how she killed him was rad. Just that little stuck him, you know,
yeah.
Just stuck him perfectly where he didn't even feel it, you know, just straight up prison shank. That was awesome. And and the way that, you know, going down the lift, I'm maybe calling it a lift, not an elevator, for our English fans out there. And we do get the maniacal John Sim laughter, which everybody kind of hates, but I kind of like.
Yeah.
And that was nice. And dude, his whole look, I mean, like, I hope they set it up to where he comes back. I know they're doing a hard reboot, and I think it's going to be a couple years before we see a master. Maybe not. But where there's a doctor, there's always got to be a master. And yes. There's a TARDIS. There's another TARDIS. this is a big deal, okay? Because we're still in post-Time War Doctor Who. Gallifrey is still in a pocket. There are no other Time Lords. So having another TARDIS in the universe, even though it's broken down and surrounded by a bunch of Cybermen, is a big deal, and I don't think... I hope they don't let that go. I know Stephen Moffat is the king of throwaway great ideas, but I hope they don't throw that idea away. And remember, we still have a Christmas episode, and I had to remind myself that too, because yes. I'm like, you know, we didn't see Missy regenerate, and they did mention she, you know, you got the whole blast, she's just going to die. I don't buy it, and that's why they didn't, you know. I don't know if she even died. You know,
that was my question, yeah. I think she did, but I couldn't tell. That's why I was asking you, like, what happened there.
Long-winded thing was supposed to, that was supposed to be the answer. No, I don't think she died. I don't think so.
Do you think she's going to show up in the Christmas episode?
Yes.
And then that's it. I mean, I don't think she's going to survive. I don't think Missy's something that gets carried over to the new series.
Well, if they're not going to carry him over, then why not show the regeneration? I mean, we all wanted to see it. Although that could be
of the master,
Of the master, yeah.
Because I mean, they don't know who to cast. They're not going to worry about that till they cast a new master.
The regeneration into Missy.
Oh, the regeneration into Missy.
Yeah, why not show that?
John Sim turning into Missy while Missy's laying there dead. That would be really interesting.
I'm sure their argument is, well, you all knew it happened and we didn't have time, da 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 da. It's like, you know what? You had time to do this big lead up scene with the kids hiding. How about cut that out and give me a regeneration in the masters? And we'll get back to the kids hiding thing. Okay, I'm going to get to it right now because I'm talking about it. The Doctor, he's a fallible character, and that's great, but I'm going to get to his big sanctimonious speech, which I thought was really good. But it reminded me of a town called Mercy where the Doctor, you know, gets pissed at himself for letting a bunch of people go. You know, that he's talking about being kind and good and chastising the master. Well, if he had just killed the effing master when he had the chance, that would have never happened. I mean, the Cybermen would have happened, but not that way on that ship. We could think about that. And we could also think about when he sends the girl out with the first weapon known to man or whatever, which was an apple, which I thought was fucking great. But he sends a little girl to face the Cybermen. I'm like, that is a real, you're a grandfather. That is a, I mean, for plot sake and for visuals, a little girl throwing against the Cybermen. I get it. I get the imagery. But the Doctor sent out a little girl to throw a bomb apple at a bunch of Cybermen. I think every adult in that room would have gone, no.
Technically, isn't it Nardal who sent the little girl out to, like, the little girl came up to Nardal and was like, how can I help? And he's like, I've got a brilliant idea. Here's an explosive apple. Go throw it at those metal guys.
Okay, that's true. But then the Doctor signed off on it with putting the little toys up. And she mentioned, okay, I'm going to get hate mail for this one. So she mentioned she throws better than any boy, which she might have. That could be the case. But her throw wasn't that very good.
Sorry. That kid can't throw. You should have sent somebody else out to kill those.
Maybe if that's the best kid, those kids did not go out and play enough. They've been on their screens and iPads way too long because that was not a good throw. But
they grew up in the cornfields with the scarecrows, you know.
Yeah, well, they grew up outside. You think they know how to toss? You know, it was a decent throw. Okay, it was a decent, but it wasn't like. I won't say what it was throwing like. Okay, I'm dancing around that one just because I don't want to be PC, but whatever. You know, I'm restraining myself. Yes. If you want to see Unrestrained Gary or listen to Unrestrained Gary, go to the Nerd Erotic Podcast, our flagship. Yeah, you will hear the nasty version of me. So other than that, though, the girl was really cute and I loved the imagery and I thought it was rad, and the whole apple reference was brilliant. Loved it.
Yeah.
Okay. This was such a complete episode, and I think that was our biggest complaint over all seasons. All the episodes felt like three quarters of the way done.
Yes.
And they might have had like solid scripts, and the BBC came in and chopped them up, which I really think is the case. So I'm going to defend Moffat and company on that one. And I think they let them have their extra few minutes. This one could have actually gone 20 minutes more, and I'd have been totally okay with it as long as it was the Master and Missy, which was just great. Or Bill. And Nardal, what a great character arc. Was that like Wesley-esque a little bit, yes. You know, John, that's John's favorite character arc in TV, right? Wesley.
Yeah, my favorite. Yeah, Wes in Buffy and Angel, I think, is just a brilliant arc from this like comic relief to being like Batman. You know, yeah, it was a little Wesley-esque. He didn't have quite the like. I think that he never stood on his own in a huge way. Nardal, he always was very dependent on the Doctor for his kind of moral guidance. But he became more interesting by far as he was on, the more he was on screen. So, and he's been the highlight of the last few episodes, I would say, or one of the highlights of the last few episodes. I think he and Missy really carried the brunt of the, not storytelling, but like fan focus, I think, for the last six episodes.
Oh yeah, he was definitely the voice of the dork, the voice of the nerd. He was the nerdy, uncool Captain Jack. Yeah. I mean, essentially. And his ending, like, no, I don't think there is words, and you know, him taking care of the kids was just like freaking cool. And waiting at the elevator. I mean, there is still Cybermen, and they do mention that. They're like, hey, the Cybermen are eventually going to come here. He's like, oh, I'll think of something, and I think that's the end. Do you think Nardal will come back in the Christmas episode?
No. I think the Christmas episode is really going to be kind of like, do you remember the like Poseidon Adventure Christmas episode with David Tennant, where he like showed up without a companion and Kylie Minogue was his companion?
Yeah.
And it was a very standalone. I think what we're going to get in this Christmas episode is Capaldi and Walder Frey, you know, as
Walder Frey,
you know, in a kind of solo adventure. I think that we're going to get that lead into whatever the new regeneration is going to be. I really think that's all that that episode's going to be.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a retrospective, and I think it's just what I've heard. Spoilers here. If you guys want to plug yours now. I'll count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's going to be a retrospective episode, and they're also going to get Gallifrey out of its bubble.
Oh, so good.
Free Gallifrey and finally address the whole Gallifrey thing, which we've been waiting for since the day of the Doctor. We got a little bit of it.
Until the Christmas episode to do that.
I hope it's a 2-hour or a 2-part Christmas episode, which I wouldn't be surprised if it was. You know, you ended Tennant's reign with a 2-parter. I hope it's at least extra long. Okay. Yeah. And not, because they're, you know, dry. I like the fact that somebody's going to, you know, he's basically on hold. So he's regenerating, or it's probably already happened. Maybe I'm thinking it's already happened and he's in this like post-doctor, whatever, like kind of like when he was in his timeline. But apparently, and I didn't watch this episode, where the first doctor was is an episode called The Roof of the World or something like that. And so he's actually in one of his lost episodes, I guess. And it takes place. Did you notice, okay, at the end, when the doctor goes out, there's like snowy pillars.
Yes.
Did you know, the first thing that hit my mind was those are other TARDISes or something, or, you know.
Interesting. Yeah. See, I thought it was just a creative way for them to hide the doctor behind the first doctor.
I was thinking those are like frozen TARDISes and we're in some kind of weird frozen point in time. I don't know. I tend to overthink these things.
No, I like that. I like that.
I'd love to see like a doctor retrospective where they roll out all 12, like just like, and guys playing like the older ones, like get Sean Pertwee to play John Pertwee, you know, from Gotham, you know, he plays, he's in Gotham. He plays Alfred. And that is that is the third doctor's son. And when he wears the costume, which he's done, it looks like him, dude. I don't know who you get to play the second doctor. Probably the guy who played him in the same movie that Walder Frey played him in.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. I'm going to go. I judge Doctor Who on rewatchability.
Yeah.
And I rewatch the shit out of season 3 and 4. I mean, I kind of like roll back to those every couple months and like pop up an episode. Also a big fan of, you know, Moffat's first two seasons. I know six gets criticized, but I fucking love it.
Yeah. I know a lot of people are not liking that we're, especially in the chat, that we're talking about Capaldi in such a negative way. But I agree. I think it's probably less about Capaldi. This episode though, and the last episode, I think are definitely rewatchable. I think the Christmas episode coming up will be the most rewatchable. I think you're right. It'll be a lot of a retrospective. It'll be something that people can watch to show people what Doctor Who's about, you know? So I'm really looking forward to that. And Carrie, we're covering Game of Thrones, which starts back up in a couple weeks. So we'll have Walder Frey. Oh, no, wait, he won't be popping up anytime soon, right? He might be. But anyway, so we'll have we've got a lot going on right now. I think we're going to take a week off and then come back. Or we might do a lead-up show to Game of Thrones next week and then right into Game of Thrones the week after that. So all you Doctor Who fans, if you watch Game of Thrones, join us at that point. You can find out everything that we're going to be covering by going to facebook.com/nerdroticpodcast or heading over to our webpage at www.nerdrotic.com. That's where you'll get the most up-to-date information about what we're doing, both of those places. It helps us a lot if you subscribe to us on YouTube and leave comments. You may be eligible to win prize packs from time to time. And you can also, if you like to listen to these podcasts, go over to the iTunes podcast app and subscribe to the Nerdrotic podcast there. All of the shows that we do will pop up in that main feed. So whether it's The Genius or Game of Thrones or American Gods or Doctor Who or Preacher that we're covering right now, iZombie just ended, all the CW superhero shows, that'll all come into your iTunes podcast feed. So check that out. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm John Reed 16, JONREED 16. You can follow us at our official Twitter feed. It's at Nerdrotics. That's Gary. So you may get a few Gary rants there as well. Importantly, follow us on Instagram. It's Nerdrotic on Instagram. I don't think I missed anything, Gary. Do you have any announcements of the winners of last week's commenting?
I do. I want to mention some comments. And for the record on the Capaldi thing, I'm always hard at people when I'm currently watching it. And I know for a fact, like 2 years from now, I'm going to end up loving him. I'm going to go, man, I thought he was the greatest. I don't know. I'm just
When does Expanse start back up, by the way?
It's like early next year.
Yeah, I think it's spring. It's going to be a spring show. I hope maybe it'll come back in the fall. I don't know.
Well, we got a book. Another book is coming out because unlike GRRM, their mentor, the writer, James S. Corey, which is actually two writers, they've got a release date of early December for the next book, which I can't wait for. Great books. People should read them. Okay. So we'll start out with our grand prize winner, which I'm going to pull out just one of the toys. This guy. Okay. Right here. Since it was a master episode. Isn't it great? I could just grab prizes just randomly.
Yeah.
We got our master set. Booyah! With Dr. Yana and Martha and
nice.
Sam and the 10th Doctor. That's going to Brian Smart. Brian Smart, whose comment I'm going to read right now. And it's not just because he points out something I did right. But it might have something to do with it. I don't know. I'm just kidding. Gary, it looks like you called it about the pilot and Bill at the ending. Good job. I'm so blind. I get my new glasses next week. I have some revelations about the Christmas episode. The final story is a wish list Christmas present to Capaldi. The story coincides with the anniversary of the Hartnell regeneration. Oh, I did not know that. The first Doctor's regeneration after his encounter with the Mondasian Cybermen. With Capaldi has stated, is his favorite Doctor favorite version of the Cybermen. And store. His Capaldi and the first Doctor might be sharing their regeneration cycle with the Doctor ending with the Doctor falls saying he doesn't want to change into something new. Might be the final clue to his next regen will be a Dagon or an old face might return. There's been two hints about the possibility of degeneration, a degen. Okay, I put Dagon because I can't read. So he was talking about a degeneration, and you know, it's weird because the curator mentioned that too. Like in the future, you're going to revisit some old faces. There has been some scuttlebutt on the internet, mainly the Reddit, which is unverifiable nonsense, but I love it. That we might get something, you know, going back, or they might, you know, bring them in, or what we just talked about, like a doctor retrospective. But I continue. But with that being said, there's also an argument that the next regen might be a woman. Yes, I think that was something I failed to mention here, as I thought it was strong foreshadowing for a female doctor in this episode. And we went over a couple of those. And I think that is a definite possibility. I think it is.
It's funny because they were talking about the dude from Love Actually. And now that I think about it, he would be a much better companion than he'd be a doctor. So maybe that's where they're going with that.
Yeah, maybe. With the Master Smiths talking with the doctor about regenerating as a woman, he said you have been a woman before, and he does have, and does he have any tips? Yeah, that's what I got out of it too. Or the old bra line. Definitely got, that was the foreshadow. So the two other things I wanted to point out was they're hinting for degeneration, which I think is unlikely, but that would be cool. If they're putting an expiration date on Doctor Who, saying we're only doing 5 more years, then why not? Right. You know, why not? I mean, like it would just make everybody happy. But you know, everybody wanted Captain Jack back, and they never did it. So
that's true.
Who cares what the fans think? But we are not always right. That is for sure. Okay, one of our other winners, who's going to get a box of Impossible Things, which is just random stuff you see behind me. It's really cool stuff. Knitting Mummy. Really pleased I found your channel. Just because you said nice things about us, and I'm going to just read it. Really pleased I found your channel, as I am a big Doctor Who and Buffy fan, so I feel I'm going to like it. We like you too.
Yay, Buffy
fans. We love Buffy, and we love Doctor Who, and we like Capaldi, okay?
We're just hard on it. We're hard on the ones we love.
It's okay to like and not love something, okay? It is. I don't know. I think Capaldi would have been better served like with just better scripts. His acting was spot, like great. Like some of the best in the series for sure. And our third winner is going to be Gerald Walker for your fine comment. There's a weird symmetry between the Genesis and the Daleks, partially caused by the Doctor, and now the Genesis Cybermen, partially being caused by the Master. Definitely. And we discussed that in the podcast. Guys and gals, thanks for watching. We really appreciate it. And thanks for commenting. And you know what? I might send a surprise gift. What I'll do is I'll respond to your comment. So, because I have actually a couple extras, because we didn't get any commenters for a couple of podcasts. So, yeah, don't be surprised if I respond. Check back on your comments in the next couple of days and look for a response. And when you do that, and winners, by the way, go to nerdrotics or email me at nerdrotics@gmail.com. So give me your address and I will mail your packages within the next couple of days. Awesome. Yeah, dude. Classic episode. Definitely in these last two, I'm going to look at them as one episode. They are in my top five for the new series for sure. I mean, I'm going to go back and rewatch these multiple times. Lots of emotions. The Cybermen kind of have never been better, in my opinion. Like really well done with the Cybermen. And they, you know, they've been trying to make them creepy, and the Mondasian ones are genuinely creepy.
Yeah,
in my opinion, especially that voice. So Pearl Mackey, great companion. My God, she is going to be a star. That one, she is a great actress. So just real quick before we go, you have any quick predictions? Like, do you think we're going to see like a Clara in the? Do you think we're? And I loved, by the way, that the callback with all the people saying doctor, which was a callback to the fourth Doctor's regeneration with all the past people saying doctor, and we got to see Captain Jack for a second. That was
cool. Which is funny because I mean that really does speak to a regen. Yeah, I mean to a degen, right? So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw I think that if we see these characters come back, the episode is going to be a bit of like a Christmas What's it called? The Christmas Carol, right? Where you get like the Ghost of Future Past showing the Doctor his life, right? Like it's going to be a bit of that for the Christmas episode if we do see all these people return. But I could also see it just being the first Doctor and the new Doctor guiding him through his regeneration. I could see both of those things. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a lot of old faces.
Yeah. That would be cool as hell, dude.
I just can't wait till, you know, a few days after Christmas when we get back together to talk more Doctor Who, because these podcasts are really fun and the Doctor Who off season is always a really long one. So yeah, I can't
25
wait.
Weeks and 3 days, they said in The Guardian today. That is a long time. I cannot wait for the Christmas episode. And if you're up, I mean, I do them Christmas Day. So I hope you're ready after you've had your little Christmas meal. You can escape to do a little podcast. I don't know. You're going to be married then.
Yeah, it depends on where I am.
Life's going to be a lot different for you, buddy.
Yep. So,
yeah. So I don't know how much we're going to see of you over the next month or two. But we got Game of Thrones coming up. If you're, I don't think Whovian's much crossover into Preacher, but maybe I'm wrong on that one. We're doing Preacher tomorrow night, and we got our flagship, which is our main podcast, which is on nerdrotic.coms. I can't talk today. Nerdrotic.com and iTunes. Please search it out. I think we had a commenter saying, I really like your YouTube channel, but I mainly listen to podcasts. I'm all, that's what we mainly are, is a podcast. Yeah. So
all of this stuff will show up in the feed, in the iTunes podcast feed. If you like to listen to us there, feel free. Awesome. You want to lead us out?
May the small folks and songs of your greatness.
Awesome, 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 awesome. Bye, everybody.
Bye, Whovians.
You have been listening to Nerdrotic Podcast.
No! When I say no, you turn back around. Hey! I'm going to be dead in a few hours, so before I go, let's have this out, you and me, once and for all. Winning? Is that what you think it's about? I'm not trying to win. I'm not doing this because I want to beat someone, or because I hate someone, or because I want to blame someone. It's not because it's fun. God knows it's not because it's easy. It's not even because it works, because it hardly ever does. I do what I do because it's right, because it's decent. And above all, it's kind. It's just that. Just kind. If I run away today, good people will die. If I stand and fight, some of them might live. Maybe not many, maybe not for long. Hey, you know, maybe there's no point in any of this at all, but it's the best I can do. So I'm going to do it, and I will stand here doing it till it kills me. You're going to die too. Someday. What would that be? Have you thought about it? What would you die for? Who I am. It's where I stand, where I stand. It's where I fall. Stand with me. These people are terrified. Maybe we can help a little. Why not? Just at the end. Just be kind.
See this face? Take a good, long look at it. This is the face that didn't listen to a word you just said.
Please subscribe.